This is an EVP. This is an EVP. These were recorded by the Long Island Ghost Hunting Team. Light. To hear more, come listen to Light Paranormal Radio. Go to lightparanormal.com and subscribe to us in iTunes.
No, I heard a woman's voice.
You heard a woman's voice?
Yeah.
What is that?
Sound like hello.
Interested in ghosts? UFOs? How about the occult? Are you psychic? Would you like to find out? Well, if you're intrigued by the world's curiosities and all that is paranormal, then Paralore.com is a place for you. Create your own profile, start a photo album, write a blog, or just hang out and watch countless hours worth of paranormal videos while chatting with other Paralore members. Who knows? You could win a prize or two if you're quick and brave enough. It's all here, and it's all free. Visit www.paralore.com and join today. Again, membership is free, and we know you won't be disappointed.
Paralore.com. Unlock your mind.
Yo, Cilantro. Where you at, yo? This taco's getting cold.
It's
the
end of every time I find death. My mind's a mess. Someone's putting me to the test. Even though I'm doing my best, I have to maintain ground. I start seeing it to be a pitch. The way every day from a paycheck. From a solid rock to a speck of dust. Making an honest little aim. Test to make do. Money kind of bullets are ready to keep the feeble until they're on the street. Try to make soup from a pebble. Three packed in the coop. Waiting to get an egg twist and a skin pulled. Buried in a bill. The fist in the mail. Hot stuff and chill. And the blood clot. Stop up a pill. And the great plot. An infected prevents me to save a lot. All of my hopes are now will make a spot in the city. I steal my spirit ride.
I'm trying to get on with my life. I'm trying to get on with my life. I'm trying to get on with my life.
All around the bank account, drink a 40 ounce to wet my tears. The drum appears, driving in the twilight, trying to set things right. In the night, I count the ghosts, while I live from the coast to coast. Can't make sense of my growth. I make a toast to the afterlife. What the fool, the reverse of what you live my life. As the time bombs, those havoc and harms, and those who steps with greed. You can't nearly put it in a hurry. Crashing into me like Jason Kramer. Pickled and dying to the way. Life's fury from a bitch in status. After the wedding, holding the knife like Marina Bobby's on the head. Out of the belly, being fed to the beast. The cries and creeps bring a chair to the feet. I'm tired of the stress, but the soul that beats. Release my anger and put my mind at peace.
I'm trying to get on with my life. I'm trying to get on with my life. I'm trying to get on with my life.
Drinking pocket and tomato juice with Bloody Mary and Gary while I stare in the mirror. Knowing the horror awaits. Society wants me like a human being. Pictures of a nightmare that's lost like a diamond ring in the sand. With bullets in his hand. Excessive wear and tear is more than I can stand. Losing the grand hair and the grand there. I don't see a twinkle of light anywhere. Sweat trickles from a crowd, wondering how. Did I get stuck with bad luck? My sister's a summer singing to dodge. It was the same to make a buck. The high don't care, but fuck. It's less than the dodge. Money niggas through the wire. Deep down in debt, you can forget to move higher. Monopoly to slam and no apologies. I'll read the crease, leaving us in disease. That the powers that be put my mind at ease.
I'm trying to get on with my life. I'm trying to get on. I'm trying to get on with my life. Yeah, right. I'm trying to get on. We've passed all these years, you know what I'm saying? Those who are making that happen. Phil Silver, T-Bat, the W. Yeah, that's right. We're going to be raised by kids, grandchildren, children to grow. Yeah, to the 3000s.
Wow, I keep shaking this ball, and all I get is the number 8. Where's the snow? I told my psychic I wanted to know if I was going to win the lottery, and she asked me for the numbers. death cog keeps showing up in this deck. Maybe I should get a reflector on my scooter. I keep dreaming about frogs leaping into my bed. This book says I'm just horny. Having a bad day at the Wheel of Fortune? Karma Cast has answers. Check out KARMAKAST.com for show listings and times. KarmaCast.com is a division of Mayhem Media.
This is Ghostly Time.
Jeff Peckman is the author and chief proponent of the ballot initiative to create an extraterrestrial affairs commission in Denver, Colorado. He will explain his strategy for creating a shortcut path that is well lit for the general public to openly receive valuable knowledge of the extraterrestrial reality. The website is www.extracampaign.org. That's extracampaign.org. And we would like to welcome Jeff Peckman to Ghostly Talk. Welcome.
Thank you very much for having me on the show. Good evening.
Yeah, it's good to have you on here. And we got a lot to talk about here.
Yeah. look at this. This is so incredibly exciting. Like, yeah. An actual, like, because, you know, the government seems to be sometimes in the business of covering up all this stuff, right?
Well, that's what we've been hearing lately.
Yeah, and you're like, oh, wait a minute. We need the government to create an extraterrestrial affairs commission. Like, wow. That's an exact 180. And I think it's really, really exciting. And you're starting, like, right there in Denver, and I think it's really cool. How's it going? What gave you the idea?
Yeah, why'd you start this? You know, that's a big thing. I guess that's a good way to start.
Yeah.
There's obviously, you know, we know what I guess what the Holy Grail is here, but I'm sure there's other things that you'd like to accomplish through this. So, I mean, can we go through these things real quick?
Well, sure. I mean, the reason I started was that I got introduced to this whole topic only about 18 months ago, I think, and I heard Stan Romanek give his presentation about contact with extraterrestrial intelligent life forms and other things going on, and I thought, well, this is, you know, the public should know this sort of thing. It's important for the public to be informed so that they can be empowered about important issues, and yet nobody was really paying much attention. And then I heard John Schussler, a former NASA engineer who was a co-founder of MUFON, a mutual UFO network, talking about the government side. He had a stack of papers that were declassified and all the evidence I needed to show that, yeah, the government has been covering up this kind of thing. So that the idea just sprung into my mind. I knew how to do a ballot initiative, and I realized that after John said he didn't expect the government to disclose this information in his lifetime, inside a light just went on, and I'm thinking, wait a minute, don't forget the fact that we are the government, you know, the people in this room and the people in Washington, D.C. are our public servants. They're not the masters of our destiny. So we can just do this ourselves. We can do it with a ballot initiative. We can get the information that Stan has and other people who have had or have credible evidence and get that directly to the public and just change the dynamic of this whole disclosure process.
Well, it seems that's the idea, I think, that, you know, they do serve us. And, you know, I hope that, you know, by pushing this thing through, we could get more information on this as far as having much more stuff disclosed. It's been a practice, it seems, all the way back to Roswell. I mean, who do you trust? My question is, really, you know, but...
How did you know how to do a ballot initiative? Was it a thing that you did for work, or have you worked on perhaps some things to get some laws enacted or things done for charitable work? I mean, how did that work out?
Well, I had a very... it came as a result of a rude awakening. I was running for office as a third party, third party candidates, nobody pays them any attention. Mm-hmm. And yet at the same time, in Colorado, there was a ballot initiative about regulating hog farms in eastern Colorado, where hardly anybody lives, and this issue was getting double page coverage in the news. I thought, well, now that's the way to go, because I've always been very solution oriented. I didn't like you know, promoting myself as a candidate, and that was sort of an accident. It wasn't my intention even to run, but my name was sort of thrown in the hat. I thought, well, maybe there's a way to, you know, talk up some issues. And so that was another awakening. I saw, this is something I can do. So I learned how to do a ballot initiative. I did one in Oregon. I drafted something to label genetically engineered food back in 2002, and it got on the ballot there.
Thank you. I'm tired of this frankenfruit stuff we have to eat.
Yeah, exactly. But Paul McCartney endorsed it. All the major environmental organizations, farming organizations were endorsing it. Got a lot of publicity, not for me, because I wasn't directly involved. I had just drafted it. But I acted as a spokesperson and kind of helped be a liaison between the campaign and other organizations. And that really made a big impact. And I did something in Denver called the Safety Through Peace Initiative 5 years ago. And it was just a way to, you know, reduce the collective amount of stress in the city as a means to reducing crime rates and improving public safety. And there's been a lot of documentation, a lot of scientific research, very, you know, peer-reviewed journal research that's been out there for years. I thought this would be a good way to introduce that. So that was my second initiative, and now this is my third. I wasn't intending to do another one, but I just saw the power of the people at work in a ballot initiative that you don't really see in a candidate campaign, because then they become the lawmaker. Just the average citizen becomes the lawmaker, and it's just very different for them, and it can move issues forward.
Well, in regards to extraterrestrial things here, we've talked briefly here so far about these, you know, my brain is just not firing tonight. I'm working on, forgive me, Jeff. We've talked about, you know, this initiative that's going through. Why do you think the government's so hell-bent on covering this stuff up, though, all the time? I don't understand, and we've exchanged ideas about this before, but I'm wondering, why does it have to take all this work to get them to actually, okay, look, here's the papers. You know?
And we have talked about this before, because, Jeff, it's like, you see it on TV during October, you know, the whole UFO things all the time, and even sometimes not in October.
Yeah.
And pretty much, I think, if there's a living soul on the planet who has a TV and some kind of cable
service,
you've seen something on UFOs on your TV, and so I think pretty much it's well known that a lot of people think that the government knows something that they're not telling us.
Well, yes, and, you know, volumes have been written about this by scholars and very dedicated researchers, and this ballot initiative was done in large part to offer them an attentive audience in Denver, people that are going to take this issue seriously because they're going to have to vote on it. It's not, you know, when they don't have to make a choice, it doesn't really matter. A lot of the information just goes right past them as entertainment or curiosity, but they do take their vote seriously.
Yeah.
And, you know, the government cover-up, I mean, the government covers up a lot of stuff. You know, millions of emails go missing, documents aren't found, you know, things happen. And a lot of it is just for the people in control to maintain control in whatever way that benefits them.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you confuse the issue, you deny it happening, you ridicule people that are trying to reveal the information. And basically, it confuses the public. And, for example, in a ballot initiative, any kind of issue, when the public is confused, the default vote is to vote no. They don't want to take a step of progress because, you know, they're just afraid that they might make a mistake. So, you know, leave things as they are. So it's a way to kind of, you know, keeping the general population ignorant. It's something that, you know, dictators have done throughout history and controlling interests. It's just the way they keep control, keeping people ignorant, confused, and in fear.
And there are a lot of votes now, ballot votes here in Michigan, where if you vote no, you're actually voting for something. They word it differently, you know, and then of course there's a big campaign every year.
Well, there was that whole mailing campaign they did for companies started to do the same type of thing where they'd send you some garbage, you know, buy our product, but, you know, they'd say, you need to respond to this to deny it. If you don't respond to this, we're just going to start sending crap to you
and charging.
And I got hit a couple times, and I just was like, oh, this is garbage. Shred this thing. And I didn't read the fine print, which I shouldn't have to.
Right.
I don't
want it. It's the same thing if you vote. No, you're voting yes.
Yeah.
Well, how come people, when they see this on their ballots, right? I'm hoping that it'll end up on the ballot. But
absolutely.
When they see it on their ballot, why wouldn't they read it and say, I think what I'm voting for is whether I believe aliens exist or not. I mean, because I don't know if I would think that if I'm reading this. Like, yes, I believe in aliens, or no, I don't. I mean,
I'm wondering what the slant's going to be on this. Like, you know, there's going to be a debate over this, and Jeff, you have your side of it, and there's going to be another side of it, obviously, too. I'm wondering what the other side's going to be. Like, okay, if we let this thing go through, all the weirdos are going to come through the woodwork, and we're never going to move around. I mean, I can't think of a bad thing for people to say, though, except for something like that.
Other than it costs money and they may not exist.
You follow what we're saying, Jeff?
Well, yes, but as far as the money, it's very specifically worded that this would not cost the taxpayers anything. It would be funded entirely by grants, gifts, and donations, and it would specifically not require any outlay from the city budget. So that covers that part.
Yeah.
The other part about, you know, what the discussion is, well, that's part of the reason for doing it. It's taking this issue, and in that context of a ballot initiative, it's bringing it into the court of public opinion where you have a jury, and both sides of the issue will be debated. And one of the most fascinating things about this process, when you engage the public in that way, not only do they very thoughtfully deliberate on the issue, but you'll find classrooms all over Denver and around the country that will pick on this particular initiative. They will pick this one, and they'll say, let's use this one to learn about democracy and politics and this form of government, self-government. And then they'll become the experts. And you know, they're the sixth graders, eighth graders in social studies classes, and they will dig into this issue, and they'll get exposed to a lot of this information, and then they will make up they'll debate it, they'll vote on it, hold a mock election. But it really raises the issue in a way that just doesn't happen when you're putting it on television as a, you know, one-hour special on ABC.
Well, I think that this type, it's easier for a kid to bite down on something like this, too. I mean, a young person. While it's important to get to the young kids and have them exposed to this stuff, like you just said, the higher volume things where, you know, people will, the adults who actually can vote for real, right? They need to be exposed to people like that. I'm still perplexed on that. I don't want to sit on this idea, but it's taking something like this. You know, and other people have rallied like this before in the past. It's taking something like this to really try to get the government to go, look, here's the documents, here's the information. I don't see why it would be such a stretch, but
I don't think that's what the initiative is. The initiative is to make an extraterrestrial affairs commission, but not to open up all documents that the government knows.
Well, open up something.
Guided tours of
well, no, that's fine.
Area 51 or anything. I think that this is, you know, to get a foothold in a governmental office building.
Isn't this
somewhere
what the ultimate goal though is? Is for people? Is for, wouldn't it be great? Well, that's just a personal opinion. Jeff, you
I think Scott wants our new president to come out and just say, oh yes, by the way, they're here. Here's bleep and here's blop, and we're all, you know, one big happy universe. But it's not. This might be a start to that,
yeah.
But we're still talking a long way down
the
line.
Yeah, and it is a good start. I mean, are we correct, Jeff?
Well, yes. You know, this is a local ballot initiative. It cannot require any government outside the city of Denver to do anything.
Yeah.
And yet, this commission would be charged with gathering the best available, credible evidence and sharing it with the general public in Denver,
okay,
and then to share it with the different departments of government that would have a reason to know for whatever, you know, whatever reason. I mean, they will also be asked to try to assess the risks and the benefits of interacting with extraterrestrial intelligent beings. And then again, just to keep the public informed, to have that evidence on the Denver City website, references, how people can find out more, just to basically brief the general population with whatever we can gather as a credible evidence, in the same way that Congress might be briefed if they chose to. And I don't expect Obama just on his own to come out and say, all right, here it is, you know, here's all the files, for two reasons. First of all, I think it's important for us to do it, for us to be involved in the process, because this becomes a very personal decision for any individual on this planet to acknowledge the existence of extraterrestrial civilizations, that this is a reality, and to, deal with it in their own way. So it is very personal. It is a grassroots kind of thing.
Yeah.
And secondly, Obama relies on that kind of grassroots activism. Well, that's what got him into the White House, first
mm-hmm.
of all.
Uh-huh.
And everything that he's doing is encouraging more of that, because that's just the opposite of what the Bush administration was doing, when it was kind of a top-down controlling thing and nobody else really mattered.
Yeah, very heavy-handed.
Yeah.
Right. So I think it has to be, I don't think it'll be only us or only the Obama administration. I think it will be both together, and that's the way it should be.
Absolutely. I agree. We talked about this initiative and what's going on and what it's about. Where are you guys at now with this? I mean, do you have a status on where it's at?
Yes, it's under my table in a box. It's on hold.
Perhaps I phrased that wrong.
It's been on hold since November.
Uh-huh.
In fact, just about there was a period where I rewrote it and made some very important changes that everybody agreed really needed to be made. Then we started over, essentially. And then I found out that this might have been the only ballot in the election this coming May, if we collected all of our signatures, with no other candidates, and it would have cost the city $500,000. So at that point, I thought, you know, even though I could justify it, I knew that people would use that as a reason to attack the initiative. So I put it on hold and then gave the city council a month to decide if they wanted to pass it themselves, which they could in order to avoid that cost and still bring people the benefits of this commission. And since they didn't, at that point, it was about 2 weeks before the election. It looked like Obama was going to win, and people were around him that we knew were favorable to disclosure. So right after he was elected, I just told everybody, okay, we're going to put this on hold for a few months. It won't have any impact on our ability to get it on the ballot November of 2009. Let's see if Obama makes a move in this direction. We'll just give him the benefit of the doubt for, you know, maybe the first 100 days or whatever.
Yeah.
And just see. And then if nothing happens, well, we can pick it up again.
Mm-hmm. Wow. It's a lot of work, though, it sounds like, to do something like this. And that's what just blows me away is that, again, I want to state that point. I mean, this is what it's taking to, again, I mean, and this is, like you said, this is a grassroots level right here to make this happen. And this is just one small area, right? I mean, that the whole country came together and did something like this. I mean, I don't know how that would be organized. I'm not a politician by any means. But just seeing this from a grassroots level is really cool to see, you know, see somebody try to put this in action. So I commend you for that. Now, also, you've been doing some. We only got a couple more minutes here before we have to go to break, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But you're doing writing. It says here, you're actually trying to bring out disclosure to the UFO extraterrestrial X Files to the public. From what I see here, you've been writing articles for the Examiner, and you know I know on a weekly basis I read a lot of articles, except for the one that we just talked about a half an hour ago with Keith Norton. That kind of blew me away.
Yeah, some UFO
hit a wind turbine
or something in England. I totally missed it myself.
So reading a lot of
the cow. It wasn't a UFO, it was a cow that flew up there and knocked that thing down. That's the Air Force's version.
Is that all? So you know about the story then?
Yeah.
Okay,
It was a cow.
Oh, they were joking about that because they thought, well, what could do this kind of damage? And somebody said, well, a cow could if it was hurled at the turbine.
Is this like Apocalypse Now when they were like hoisting the cow up? And everybody saw Apocalypse Now. That's going to fly over his head. But they're saying a cow, well, it's a joke, obviously. But you're
kind
familiar
of a Monty Python joke.
Yeah. You're familiar with this story, though, obviously.
Yes.
And you do writing for the Examiner. And, you know, like being as a reader, because I don't write any articles, you're doing a write-up. So what have been some of the most interesting ones you've done?
Well, I posted something about the former CEO of Lockheed, Ben Rich. He was exchanging some handwritten letters and emails with John Andrews of the Tester Model Corporation, and they were basically acknowledging with each other that they both believed that the UFOs that we're seeing, some are things that we built, you know, Americans, and some that they built, extraterrestrials, and some of the design characteristics of, you know, the top secret stealth fighters and the spy planes that were American-made came from the crashed Roswell UFO, and they were acknowledging that to each other. So that just shows that, yeah, they knew about this. This is Lockheed Skunk Works.
Uh-huh.
And the Black Ops part of Lockheed. And then also NASA, Gary McKinnon, the UK hacker that hacked into NASA and other intelligence and military agencies.
Yeah.
Well, you know, he was almost extradited to the United States for that. But what I pointed out was that what many whistleblowers have already stated is that that NASA has doctored photos that had images of UFOs in the background. They've destroyed the photos, and yet they come back to taxpayers to get $17 billion a year to keep looking for signs of extraterrestrial life, okay?
Uh-huh.
Now, to me, that, you know, by any definition, that constitutes fraud.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's no different than Enron, you know, cooking its books to defraud investors or whatever.
Uh-huh.
And so that was interesting, but one I just had a lot of fun with over this last weekend, and it's up there now, is what influence UFOs might have had on Renaissance, the great Renaissance people, you know, Columbus and Da Vinci and Michelangelo, and, you know, there's images of what looks like flying saucers in the back of, you know, it's like Madonna and Child and flying saucers. <you know? laughs> and Da Vinci made this thing. It was an armored car that just looks like a flying saucer. And it was all around the same time, and these people were there in Florence, at the center of the culture of the Renaissance, all at about the same time with these different UFO-looking images, and Columbus even saw what, you know, described something that looked like a light bouncing around, coming and going, that he couldn't explain just four hours before he hit land. You've heard these stories before.
Uh-huh.
But I just thought it was fascinating that all these people were probably around about the same time, could have been sitting at a bistro in a Tuscan bistro in Florence, you know, in the afternoon, talking about this stuff. You know, what is that up there? And why? Michelangelo, you know, he was all part of this. So even Copernicus showed up around that time,
and
it just kept going like that.
Well, as we know, I mean, we've seen all types of stuff through history. I mean, my favorite example will always be the Egyptians. All types of hieroglyphs with helicopters, like humans,
right,
and jets, and all these weird, and of course UFOs to shape objects. So it's perplexing to say the least. And even in the Renaissance period, like that, to see this type of inspiration put into artwork and whatnot, it makes you think, like, what were these people seeing up in the sky? Is it the same thing that we're seeing? Because we have our own art too here. You know, I know people still, we have our own things that maybe, if we ever don't ever answer any of these questions, they may be saying the same thing. Somebody may be writing an article 150 years down the road about us, Jeff, in the same caliber, saying, well, when those guys were making those JPEG images or those Photoshop images, they were Photoshopping UFOs in there. What's going on with that? So, you know, I think it goes through history like it does, but it makes you think, and that's really interesting. Jeff, hang on for 1 second, though. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we got a lot to cover here. We got a lot of stuff to talk about still. So, Jeff, thanks for joining us. Hang tight for 1 second. This is Ghostly Talk. I'm Scott L.
And I'm Doug.
And I'm Bonnie.
We'll be right back after this.
Ghostly Talk!
Do you feel like there's something happening in your home or business? Something you can't explain? Do you think that whatever is happening seems to be paranormal? Do they exist? Florida Ghost Hunters at FloridaGhostHunters.com are looking for haunted locations throughout Central Florida. Let the team at Florida Ghost Hunters investigate your paranormal experience. Their mission is to disprove a haunting with science, to find a reasonable explanation to a problem, and whatever is left becomes evidence. FloridaGhostHunters.com. If you've experienced paranormal activity in your home or business, you are urged to visit FloridaGhostHunters.com and click Need Help. FloridaGhostHunters.com.
Welcome to Paranormal News on Ghostly Talk Radio. Paranormal News is produced by Genesis Creations Entertainment. I'm your host, Bonnie Vance.
Do you need a celebrity to promote your product or service? Planning a big event and want that little extra star power? Want to have lunch or dinner with the cast of Leave It to Beaver or dinner and a concert with Peter Noon from Herman's Hermits? Then go to Genesis Creations Entertainment at www.genesiscreations.biz and book a celebrity today. Edinburgh Skeptics will be giving their own tours. Alex Price is in the process of setting up a tour company to conduct walking tours of Edinburgh. They will consist of two history tours focusing on the actual history of the city and a third tour that's called Ghost Busted Skeptics on the Mile. They're still ironing out the finer points of exactly what the tour will consist of. The main idea is to debunk a few of the myths surrounding the hauntings of Edinburgh and upset a few of the ghost tour companies by telling the public the truth about the haunted underground city. Price says it's not haunted, it's not underground, and it's not even a city. Price says he worked there and knows firsthand that the stories are made up. On the tour, they will be demonstrating how psychic ability works and inviting people to partake in some experiments, including Ouija boards and the haunted underground. The purpose is to show people how the paranormal really works and that it's nothing more than suggestion, superstition, subconscious response, and in the case of the tours, listening to an authority figure, as in the tour guide. Fort Mifflin could be saved by modern-day patriots. In a joint effort intended to draw from the collective resources of the paranormal community, the Para-X Radio Network, in association with CBS Psychic Radio, launched a crusade to defend the fort. Led locally by Mark and Robin of Para, the paranormal events will be held on May 16th and 17th, and then again on June 26th. Lectures and public paranormal investigations of the fort will be available. The first annual East Coast Paranormal Investigators Conference will also be held there October 9th through 11th. The reenactment community has also responded to the Save Fort Mifflin call for help. Rick Hitman, Lieutenant of 69th Penna Volunteer Infantry, said they will perform both Irish traditional music and Civil War period music, as well as participate in a living history if needed. Like the first patriots at Fort Mifflin who fought to create our great nation, those modern patriots are fighting to keep Fort Mifflin alive. For more information, go to www.para-x.com and click on the Fort Mifflin tab. For more information on these stories, please go to www.sdparanormal.com and the Paranormal News feed page. Don't forget, sign up for a free subscription to Paranormal News. Thanks for joining us today on Paranormal News. If you'd like to sponsor or advertise on Paranormal News, please send us an email at parax.news@aol.com. You can listen to Paranormal News on Ghostly Talk Radio at www.ghostlytalk.com. Please check out their other fine shows. Or you can join us at paranormalnews.mypodcast.com. Until next time, I'm your host, Bonnie Vance.
Hi, this is Luke.
And this is Tobin from Quest Research.
Hey, Tobin, what do you get when four guys with absolutely no video experience whatsoever decide to produce their own online paranormal TV show?
I don't know what. Oh, wait, I do know. Ghost Diaries, right?
That's right.
You can check us out and get involved at www.questresearch.net. And the good thing about being new is that you will only get better.
The television screen is the retina of the mind's eye. Therefore, television is reality, and reality is less than television.
The website is www.extracampaign.com. ghostlytalkradio.org.
Yep.
And, of course, we're talking with Jeff Peckman about the ballot initiative in Denver, Colorado. For
did you kill the headphone mic?
Yes, he did.
Or amp?
Because was, the break was screaming.
Was it?
Screaming loud.
Was it?
Yeah.
I can't hear anything in the headphones now. What's going on? Okay, that's way better.
Well, you can still see levels bouncing.
Well, yeah, but...
Yeah, but he wants to hear him.
I got
to
experience
sexy,
it, don't you know?
Sexy, smoky, hot voice.
Don't you remember the old days? I used to be so cool about it. Oh, this is my voice.
That's how our guest is. Really deep.
Well, yeah, Jeff.
We're talking about...
Oh, yeah, Jeff, you got a new stalker, by the way.
We're talking about the ballot proposal to create an extraterrestrial affairs commission in Denver, Colorado, and, of course, about deep, sexy, hot voices.
Apparently, Doug and I do not cut the mustard.
Yeah.
It was discussed in the chat room, so I merely brought it up.
Let's get right to the chase, though, because I know we're going to run out of time here, because we always do. And, you know, basically, you know, what kind of things can, like, you know, as of right now, I mean, all over the country, let's say, what can we do to help, you know, help people, well, what kind of things can people do to help disclosure take place in regards to UFOs? What kind of things can we do?
A few come to mind. First of all, this examiner.com is looking for 12,000 people to be examiners in different categories, and so far the UFO categories in politics and in technology are all ranking in the top one or two. Right now my column is number one out of 170 Denver examiners in all the normal, you know, typical categories, and nationally it's also number one amongst over 30 technology examiners. And so there's very strong interest in this. People have been waiting so long for this information, and it's such a huge, important thing that I would just encourage people to go to examiner.com and consider writing articles for your local area about UFOs, extraterrestrial civilizations, exopolitics, anything in that field. Another one is go to small claims court and file a lawsuit against NASA for fraud. I mean, you know, for a few bucks, I mean, you know, it's just, it's offered to people. You can do that. Explore doing a ballot initiative in your own locality. Mostly, there's about 10,000 cities and towns around the United States that have this kind of process. Not everybody does. Half the states do on a statewide level. But I'd say at a local level, even one ballot initiative can really spark a lot of interest, and we've seen that just in Denver. I never even told the media that I was doing this ballot initiative, but by law I had to file something with the city that was a draft of the language, and a reporter found out about it. And then he did a story, and then the TV station started calling, and then, you know, here I am. Uh-huh. And it became a very big deal. So, you know, if 10 or 20 or 100 other cities and towns did this around the country, I think it would pretty much dominate the conversation going on for a while and really engage a lot of people. So there's a few things right there. Attend the UFO Congress. I think this is going to be a great one in Laughlin at the end of February, and also the X Conference in April in Washington, D.C. I think these will be very different than ever before because they're happening at a time when, you know, President Obama is now more supportive of the Freedom of Information Act. He wants more openness and transparency. So I think the character of these two conferences will be very different and very much more important than ever before.
Okay, now, and I mean, so you got to help me here. I'm falling apart tonight.
Who would be?
I'm having a really rough night here.
I'm interested in.
You're on less sleep than I am too. I don't know how I'm the one.
I know. I don't know how I'm
falling
doing
out right now. Please help me.
But my thing is. Because I'm very excited about an extraterrestrial affairs commission. I just think it's really cool. But
I want to be on it.
At the same time, I don't...
It's definitely a UFO.
I don't try...
Absolutely. Hey,
obviously, you're an excellent ghost hunter. That is definitely a ghost. I don't care what you say, it's a ghost.
Yeah.
No. how would it work? Because why would somebody head it up? Who would you get to? Because yeah. obviously, you know, you'll have to have people to form this commission, right? And yeah. I was on like a cable commission. I was like the junior representative from a high school or whatever to the city's cable commission for, you know, government stuff. You had to get a credit for
yeah,
that or
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah.
And so I volunteered to go do that, and it was interesting, and there was, you know, a couple people, and we sat around, and they took notes, and they mm-hmm. did the Robert's Rules of Order. I had to learn a little bit about that. And,
yeah, yeah.
And basically it said, if you're the high school representative to the cable commission,
yeah.
you're not allowed to speak at all. So I was pretty impressed with that. And but you get the idea, is like there's going to be like someone in charge of it, and there's going to be some underlings and a secretary and that kind of thing. And who would it be, and what would they do all day?
All right, it's a very good question, and that's outlined in the ballot initiative. You can read the entire text if you go to extracampaign.org. One of the buttons just says Denver Ballot Initiative, and that actually shows the PDF file of a 3-page document that outlines what the commission is for, why it needs to be established, and what they will do. And part of that, there's a section describing the qualifications for being on the commission, and it used to be kind of loose and required some people from the city to be on, just I did that as a courtesy, but then I realized they may not want to be on the commission.
Mm-hmm.
So now it's open to people that I think several of them need to have PhDs in some related area, they need to have written books about this topic, or interviewed 100 or more people who were contactees. So there's 7 different positions now to fill. They can be from, actually, it's specifically worded that the people on the commission can be from anywhere in the universe.
Oh, that's
and
awesome.
the reason I did that was because when I did the David Letterman interview, in the release that I had to sign before they sent me on stage,
uh-huh.
you know, they didn't ask me to do it until I got there, of course. They said they could use my photo, my image, anywhere in the universe in perpetuity. And I thought, well, that's pretty expanded thinking. You know?
That's part of the verbiage?
Yes, yes, in the release. And then I found out I've seen it in other contracts. So it's just how they cover themselves.
Well,
you know
what?
In the universe forever.
We got nothing on Letterman because I thought we were forward-thinking here, but we got nothing on that guy over there. First of all, we don't do releases. Second of all, if we did releases, I don't think we'd ever say anything about the universe in there whatsoever.
I would. now that I know it's part of the joke
because of the topic of the interview that night. But no, it's just standard language in a lot of time.
Now that I know they do it, yeah, I'm all on it. I want I want to be able to use stuff anywhere in the universe and in perpetuity.
What I think is cool about these,
and
guidelines.
I want to be able to have used it as well as use it in the future.
And I want to be able to stalk them anywhere in the universe.
Because that's what we got Bonnie here for.
At any time, past, present, and future.
Yeah, any time she'll be there at your
time
window.
Time is a concept,
at your window, staring in your window. Now, what I find really cool about this, though, is these guidelines you kind of just went over, that the people that were going to be on this commission, there would have to be some pre-qualifications for the job. Right? In a field, I think, right now, and it came up last half hour.
The paranormal.
The barriers of entry are very, very low.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
People can just come in there and throw a doctor on their name or say they've, you know, got this many, you know, years and, you know, they're in. You know, they'll get all types of things, and I've seen it happen personally. So it sounds like you guys are requiring, you know, that they have had to do some groundwork. They've had to have some true experience that they can that has been documented, that they can show you. And I think, you know, in order to do this job effectively, you're going to need people in there that do have true experience. Any job, really, especially when it comes to this. And I think that's another step forward in, you know, hopefully
and
taking away this whole fringe thing.
And that's why they're allowed to talk when Robert's Rule of Order is read.
Exactly.
If you're just a high school student, you don't get to. Well, so it is made up of some highly qualified individuals or
hopefully,
people who have shown both an interest and some work in the field at some point.
Yeah.
Which is an amazing amount of credibility.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's not just going to be some yahoos. But what if...
I was trying to dance around that, but thank you, Doug. You're going right to the gut.
I am. I'm direct. I'm applying for a
job. Well, it's the truth.
On
you're
Fox
right.
News.
Yeah, you're right.
Where I get to talk only about my opinion. So you're setting up what this could be, though, is this could end up being a model for things in everybody's hometowns and eventually, hopefully, states and eventually the nation. This could be a model for future
yeah.
progress in this kind of endeavor.
Yes, it's true. And I also had proposed to the Obama administration. I applied for a job back in November when they were taking applications. And there's a field that says if you don't see the department or agency listed here, then please enter it. And so I said, well, I'm applying to be the project coordinator for the White House Commission on Extraterrestrial Affairs. And then I explained why they needed one.
Yeah.
And I've encouraged other people to apply for that as well, and a few have. And so you're right. It could be a model for something in the White House that really ought to be done at that level. If it isn't, we'll just do it locally and show them how it's done.
Oh, okay.
I mean, that's fantastic.
Well, it's just another way to try to push this thing forward, though.
Well, the thing is, here's what I'm thinking, Jeff. The, you know, Star Wars came out, right? Big movie, everything. The first one, anyway. And then, of course, the fourth one was even bigger, but that was because of all the hoopla. But, all right, anyway, that's neither here nor there. In England, they actually put, you know.
Oh,
well,
they, yeah, we were talking about that year? Yeah,
yeah.
Years ago. That came up in the news. That
in
that's
the census, in England, they actually put Jedi.
As far as some people have actually claimed as a religion, Jeff, that they're Jedi. That they've taken that so seriously. So, I mean, that does mean something. I know
so,
what the point is.
And it got on a form. And
yeah.
I think that's
put it through. They said, okay, well, you know, people, so many people have been putting in the other field, Jedi, that we'll just make it an official thing now.
Right.
So some people actually claim that. So it can be done, I think, Jeff.
Through grassroots movement.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. And I think that's the best way, because historically, some of the most important kinds of legislation at the state
yeah.
level, at least, have happened from ballot initiatives and not from the legislators. Women's right to vote in Oregon and Arizona, I think, was from a ballot initiative. And different child labor laws and 40-hour work week, and more recently in Colorado, you know, alternative energy support came from an amendment that was passed by the people.
Mm.
Could have been done by the legislature, but no, they're just too much influence from the fossil fuel industry. So these really, really important issues, I think, are best dealt with by the people, for the people, of the people, and all that.
Yeah.
So that's why I think is going to lead the way. And then I think President Obama will not want to be left out of the loop, but I don't see him as actually initiating the whole process.
It's going to have to be pushed through.
Why would an extraterrestrial affairs commission makes sense. And here, I mean, I know we talked about this in the very, very first question. Like, you know, you found out about it, and then people showed you proof, and you read up on it,
yeah,
and you thought,
yeah.
Oh, my gosh, you know. But why does it make sense? Like, because my initial thing was, have we been having problems with them? And of course, yes, I think we have, but I want to hear it from you, Jeff. Why would it make sense to have one when I go to work, I come home, and I never have any problems with people from Mars. I'm being a little facetious for funniness sake,
yeah.
But nobody seems to think it's funny.
Okay.
But I mean, usually what I see in government, Jeff, this is what I see. I see
yeah.
that, oh, we have a problem. Somebody got hit by a car, you know, that had a bird on it, and their baby flew out the window, so we have to outlaw birds landing on cars. And then they put it all through,
and
it's all ridiculousness,
right, yeah.
And it's this big thing, but it's always reactionary. This seems proactive, and I've never seen a proactive thing, at least in my life yet.
Well, that's right, because people in government, they can't think outside the box, because they are the box.
Right, good point.
They have to be right there, kind of at the, you know, in the middle. And so they never do anything that's truly cutting edge. And that kind of solution comes from the people, who are not stuck within that framework of the government box. And, you know, that's why they're crisis management oriented.
Right.
They don't do anything until it becomes a crisis. So they're just dealing with one crisis after another and usually not keeping up. So this is a way to inject earlier on the idea, the reality that there have been these visitations by extraterrestrial beings, and somebody needs to start thinking about this. Yeah. You can't rely on the government, the elected officials to do that. We should do it on our own because it does impact everything we do every day. I mean, you know, the amount that Denver taxpayers give to NASA to look for intelligent life in outer space is, you know, and their whole budget is proportionally, it's like $30 million a year. Now, there was a sort of devastating budget cut to the homeless program here in Denver, and 25% of their budget was cut off, and that was like $1.5 million. So, you know, everywhere you see these budgets are being cut, people are losing their jobs, and I think when they see that there's a benefit to expanding their comprehension of what's going on in the universe and actually looking for job opportunities, trade opportunities, cultural exchange opportunities, you know, keeping the government from squandering money, sending a, you know, overrated vacuum cleaner to Mars to suck up dust and ice like it's at a Hollywood party, you know, and then just pass out up there. I mean, you know, there's issues with this on this topic that are affecting us every day, and that's what people don't realize. They think it's just a fringe concept, you know, that is a curiosity, but they don't really see the direct impact. And that's what we have to bring home to the people, that it is affecting them in many ways that they don't realize.
I think it's just classic politics at work. When it comes to, when you're talking about being proactive, Doug.
Right.
And you know this is exactly what happens. Hey, we need to be proactive on this issue, guys. We need to get to work on this. It's never going to work. Right? So I think what happens is a lot of people, especially in government, they're afraid of kind of stepping outside of that box because, as Jeff mentioned, they are the box, right? So if they step outside of that, go against the norm some way, and they end up, God forbid, being wrong or something goes wrong in the process, they're going to take a trampling from everybody else, right? So I think that may be another issue, just politically speaking, that people are afraid to step outside of that because they don't want to go against the grain, which is the obvious thing. But I think it's just a matter of, well, we told you so kind of stuff, which, you know, we deal with that daily in our work lives, too.
Right.
We told you not to do that. It's broken now. Now we have to fix it. Now it's in crisis mode. They're going to say, well, you created a crisis. It wasn't a crisis before, but now it is because you tried to do something.
Right, there's a lot of blame going back and forth.
Well, yeah, that's what all these is.
But they are really definitely, you know, it's a crisis machine. And,
yeah.
And I've noticed that over and over and over again. And that's why, thank you, Jeff, for explaining that this is why, you know, at the local level, an extraterrestrial affairs commission is, this is where you do proactive stuff.
Yeah.
That's the only way to do proactive stuff, because it's not going to happen in a crisis mode until E.T. comes and lands on the White House lawn, right, and does it in front of cameras and everybody, and
uh-huh.
You know, then it becomes crisis, and that's what they're good at.
Yeah.
But they're not good at this. This is where the people and ballot initiatives are good.
We got a couple minutes left, unfortunately, Jeff. I knew we were going to crank right through this. And we mentioned earlier that you're going to be speaking at a few conferences this year. Where are you going to be speaking at?
Laughlin, Nevada, the UFO, International UFO Congress, and that's ufocongress.com, and then X Conference in Gaithersburg, Maryland, in April, mid-April, and that's, you can go to both of those things, I think, from my website, at least X Conference, and then, yeah, UFO Congress, too.
So, and you're beyond those.
Excellent.
There's a... With the we go to a lot of conferences within the ghost hunting thing, which those kind of the paranormal. Well, we go to paranormal conferences more, I think. Which
right.
The term paranormal just doesn't involved just ghosts per se. We talk to a lot of people from a lot of different walks of life, but these are strictly UFO conferences, though, right, Jeff?
Right. I mean, there's getting to be more and more overlap.
Oh yeah.
Because there's, you know, interdimensional beings and celestial beings and extraterrestrial beings and all kinds of, you know, beings commingling and talking up this stuff. So
yeah.
I think we're going to, you know, we may cross paths at some time.
Well, and it just kind of drives our point home that we've been just drilling here for the last, you know, 6-7 years, is that we, I think, both of us, Doug, and I think, Bonnie, you're in the same boat we are here, that, you know, we're convinced strange stuff is going on, whether it be UFOs or ghosts or whatever.
And I think most of it's related.
Oh, well, that's, yeah.
Oh, what, probably.
That's the real question, though, I think, is, yeah, I believe that, too. But you're saying, you're kind of illustrating that for us some more, Jeff, that we think it's related, and it's obvious because a lot of the stuff is intermingling with each other, and we're hearing a lot more ideas.
Or maybe we're all outside of the box, and we're just bumping into each other. I don't know. But it doesn't seem to be happening. There is one thing that I didn't get to ask about.
Well,
do we have enough time?
We have plenty of time. Go ahead.
We have a couple minutes?
Yeah,
okay. I didn't get to ask about the World Peace Market website.
Well, you can access that also from extracampaign.org, and that was actually what I was supposed to be working on before I got involved in the ballot initiative. And it primarily promotes a new technology called Metatron technology, which is a certain quality of light that can be brought into your environment through your computer as a download, many even free downloads, that people have had very nice experiences with that, because one of the side benefits is that it seems to eliminate the chaos of man-made electromagnetic fields by taking lost information that drops off in a signal over time and distance and reintegrating that chaos, that background inaudible noise back into the signal, so that it removes the chaos from your environment, enriches the signal, and just creates a nicer working, studying environment. And if you go to worldpeacemarket.com, actually it goes to reduce EMF stress, and then you'll see testimonials and an explanation about the technology, and it's really quite profound what people have been experiencing. And there's some things you can get for free. They're full download permanent versions that you can just put it on your computer and enjoy the benefit of that, and it's a way just to introduce it to people. And I'll be talking more about this at the UFO Congress and working more on this, promoting this over time.
Fantastic.
And that's interesting, because a lot of things in, you know, other realms of study have to do with vibrations and with you know, order versus chaos, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And this sounds like they're doing some research and making computer programs and stuff.
Well, there's been talk about how many signals go through us all the time.
Right.
And
at any given moment.
And could have an effect on us. I mean, just any given
office.
And
usually makes you cranky.
Well, yeah,
when
any
I'm at the
given
office
you're working at, there's about 400 cell phones around you, laptops and computers all over the place, all types of communication devices left and right, fax machines. I mean, there are all these things shooting signals left and right. And, you know, we've often wondered, like, what kind of effect does that have on you after a while?
It makes me cranky.
Well, yeah.
Makes me want to get out of the office as much as possible.
So that's interesting.
I see where this could be of interesting use.
Yeah, yeah. Jeff, we got to thank you for joining us. We really appreciate it. Thanks for coming on and hanging out with us for the last hour here. Hang on the line for 1 second, though. Don't just leave us yet, okay?
Thank you very much.
Yes,
thank you. The website is www.extracampaign.org, and there's links on that site to you know, many of the things that we talked about this past hour.
Check them out.
So check it out. You know, the Examiner articles, the you know, the conferences, and
all the things we talked about, all kinds of stuff.
And
Jeff's a busy guy.
So, yes, I have to thank him.
What's going
coming
on?
Up,
after the break.
Is going to be our an icon of sorts in the community, Clyde Lewis.
Clyde Lewis,
radio
yeah.
personality, does Ground Zero.
We've been friends with Clyde. We've known him for years. And
started listening to him decades ago, or whatever.
Yeah. Great guy. Great guy.
And we get to talk to him again. Finally, right after this.
Miss a live broadcast? Feel free to download it direct from the on-demand archives at ghostlytalk.com.